Welcome to the Playing Injured podcast, where we have conversations that help people turn their adversity into their advantage.
What is going on? This is Mason Eddy, one of the co-hosts of Playing Injured podcast, and I am so pumped to have a good friend of mine. We go way back. How many years has it been, Kyle?
It's been over 10, probably a dozen years, maybe more even.
A dozen years. That means we're aging.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. But he has gone from, this is pretty neat, he has gone from a guy we played soccer, against, to a guy who I was friends with, to a guy who's become a mentor and has made a massive impact on my life. And that's kind of been the progression of our 12-year journey. And I don't know that there's many people that have that type of relationship progression.
Absolutely. It's been a ride, and I think it's just cool to go through life with people you really want to run back to back with. And, you know, I think there's a, you know, level of respect and a level of fun that we have and all that just culminates in a great relationship, man. So I'm pumped to be sitting here with you just as much as you are with me.
Yeah. Well, I get to, kind of be the interviewer here and get to dive into a little bit of your journey. And, you know, I think when we first met, we were drinking beer at a baseball game.
Yeah.
Remember that? Kind of that's where we connected. And I was talking big about Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and you had just kind of started your entrepreneurial journey, or you were maybe a year in.
I was less than a year. I think I was maybe a few months
in,
like that. Yeah. That was one of the first books I was recommended. So when you started talking about that, I think just it clicked.
Yeah. So if you haven't read that book, recommend you get your hands on it at some point, just to get the context. Likely if you're listening to this, though, you probably have or you're aware of kind of that idea. So Kyle, why don't you walk us through a little bit of your journey into the quote unquote game of entrepreneurship, where you started from, anything you want to share that, you know, because I think you got a unique story. Well, I know you got a unique story. And well, one thing I know is that I related to your story more than I related to most other entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And so kind of talk us through that.
Sure. Yeah. And I don't want to, you know, get crazy details of growing up and stuff like that, but born and raised small town, Wisconsin. I mean, man, I was the guy playing the sports. I was the guy getting outside, all those different things. I like to stay active and, you know, ended up going into college at UW-Madison. So I'm a Wisconsin Badger, go Red. But I ended up going the engineering route, and it was more so something that kind of fell into my lap. I excelled at math and science in high school. People told me I should be an engineer. And that's really why I said I would do it. That's why I went in that school. And I mean, I didn't even know all the different routes or anything like that. So it was never a passion, right? It was never something like I never woke up being like, oh, I want to be an engineer. It just seemed like a pretty logical step for me based on my skill set. And the more I not necessarily learned in the industry, but the more I got exposed to the engineering world and really corporate America for that, you know, factor matter, the thought of just sitting in a cube or an office for 50 years kind of scared the crap out of me. I'm being really honest, I couldn't relate to that whatsoever. I mean, there was just so much more I could do. So I started getting really intrigued into the idea of entrepreneurship. And when I was in college, it was nowhere near as popular as what it was now. It is now. I mean, nowadays, like everybody's doing a little something on their own, right?
Yeah.
But back then it wasn't as pertinent. So there wasn't the resources. I didn't know about all these different options. I was kind of sitting there sort of like a, you know, spinning my wheels, kicking up dirt, not going anywhere, and not figuring out how I could take that step. And my break came due to an introduction that a friend of mine made, you know, to a successful entrepreneur local in Madison. His name's Craig. And I've got a really interesting story and dynamic with him because 8 years later, he became my brother-in-law. I married his younger sister. But at that time, he was just a person that had had success in life, in the areas that I really respected, right? Success professionally, success in his family, success in his finances, success in his, you know, walk, whatever it was. And I was just really attracted to that. So he really changed my dynamic into knowing that me as a I think at that time I was a junior in college, had an afro. I lived a block away from Camp Randall.
You've been to my house. I remember.
Seven.
It literally reeked like beer when I walked
in. Yeah. Seven other roommates. I lived in the attic, and not even in the room in the attic, just in the general attic. And my dad and I like built temporary walls there when I stayed there. Like it was kind of a dump. But I always joke around with people. It wasn't the center for entrepreneurship, but that's where I was. You know, I got things going in the e-commerce space and the network marketing space because that was what really it made sense for me at the time. It was a space where I knew I could learn and grow. I didn't have to take on a lot of risk. I saw the potential long term. And more importantly, I had individuals who had created success in that space too that were willing to help me. Like I said earlier, you know, you and I, you know, we used to play against one another. We're big athletes. At least we used to be. You know, coaches in that environment just always made so much sense. And I just took that idea and put it into a life and a business environment. So that's kind of where I got my start, you know, in college. And I slowly grew and scaled it up from there to the point where I was in my mid-20s and I was making a professional income for my side hustle.
Yeah, and not just a professional income. I think you had automated majority of that, right? Like it was more of like a passive residual income at that point even.
Yeah. I mean, and I think passive income is something that, you know, a lot of people are after, and it can income, you know, be truly passive. Most of it's not truly passive, but there's a big percentage of it, you know, and at that point I would say certainly more of it was automated than not.
Yep.
And the time I was typically putting in to my ventures at that point was more so directed on growth than sustaining what I had already built.
Well, I just remember meeting you, Kyle, and I met you and I came over to your place and I saw where you lived. But what I was attracted to wasn't so much where you were at. I was attracted to where you're going. And I think sometimes people hear your story, at least I heard your story, and I started to think like, oh, this Craig guy must have gave you this like magic bullet to success and entrepreneurship. Like, you know, you found a mentor and he just like gave you these magic tricks. But what I've seen over the years is you just really overcome and become. And, you know, maybe talk about your mindset around personalities and like having to have the right skills and like the pieces of that that I feel like so many people get tripped up over.
Yeah. I mean, I think I saw it especially being a little bit more of a, you know, from a technical background, being in the engineering space. I think there's a lot of industries where that jump to entrepreneurship almost seems unrealistic to them. And all it is, it's limiting beliefs. Like, I don't care if you're an extrovert or you're an introvert. Sometimes introverts have more success when it comes to the entrepreneurial space for a lot of reasons. They stay focused in certain things better. They when they talk, they really mean it. Not, you know, it's not fluff. So I think I had to get comfortable with certain things, though. I mean, I wasn't an introvert from the standpoint of it wasn't like I didn't like being around people. It wasn't like I didn't go hang out with friends at parties or anything like that at the time. And that was a weird environment. Like I was all comfortable. I played team sports. I had, you know, had a good sphere of friends and stuff like that. But when it came to really influencing people in a professional environment, that was pretty uncomfortable. Right. And the, I guess, art of adding value and the art of making an impact. And I don't want to say motivating people because I think there's no such thing as motivating other people. You've got to have that internally, but being interesting, being intriguing, like attracting all these people, that was a skill set that I was negative on. Like, it's not that I didn't have it. It's like, I was almost pushing people away because I was so monotone. It was so boring. I was so by the book and, you know, task driven and all that. And the fact of the matter, not everybody is. So I think my perspective always was, sometimes people use that as an excuse, right? Like, oh, I'm an introvert. I can't
stop so many people.
Oh my God.
That's the end game.
Yeah. And it's just like, well, what are the strengths that you have based on that? Like, what does that bring to the table? How can you how can you maximize that? But then also, like, how can you look at growing in those areas? Like, I love to talk to people who are really reserved and stuff, and I'm not people oriented and this and that. And I love to challenge them, just ask them a question. Great. Is that like your goal in life?
Amen.
You know, like, yeah. Do you want to be, you know, and maybe it is, that's fine. Right. But if it's not, the question is, what are you doing to change that? Because there's not, there isn't the magic mentor fairy dust or anything like that that's going to change that. It's something that you have to do. So I got really intentional, Mason, about how do I communicate? How do I develop my speech pattern? How do I become more interesting to think about? How can I bring inflection and tonality and belief into what I'm talking about so people actually care about what I'm talking about, right? And it was a process that took years. I mean, I remember like those internal pump up talks, right? Like that we used to do probably before the soccer games and stuff like that. Like, man, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to tear somebody's head off. Like, I'm going to go score a hat trick, whatever it is, right? And that turned to, man, I'm going to go and I'm going to make an impact. I'm going to be interesting. People are going to be attracted to what I'm talking about. So I went from being this, I don't want to say like timid, but unsure person in the entrepreneurial space, could I add value to other people? To then, I mean, we've flown to a couple other countries. We just got back from a trip to London, where, you know, my wife and I spoke over there in front of a couple hundred people. We've been keynotes at conferences of a few.
Australia.
Yep. That was Australia. I think that was back in maybe 22, like right before the pandemic, maybe the year before the pandemic, something like that. So. Yeah, it just became this almost focused effort, I think, and understanding that it's not about the result initially, it's about the growth, right? We all talk about growth mindset so much. And it's really about how I can get better. And as I look at myself 12 months ago, how have I improved over the last 12 months? How can I continue to work on that over the next 12 months?
Yeah, I mean, it became your new sport. Right.
Yeah, essentially. Exactly.
Yeah. Seriously. I think sometimes people start to hear this, or at least, you know, now being with you on this journey for a while, what Kyle is sharing here, I want you to rewind if you're like struggling with like, well, why is this important to entrepreneurship? Like, folks, this is the fundamental baseline to how to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, to me, this is some of the most basic fundamental focus you need to have. Most people are like, well, what did you do, Kyle? Like, what, and we'll get to that. And I know you're going to share that probably, but this is really important stuff. And to really have a growth mindset around that. One of the things that I think people also struggle with, especially in this time, is staying focused. Mm-hmm. Kyle. Like, how do I mean, there's so many things out there. There's so many shiny objects and so many things that I could go do when it comes to starting a side hustle. That's the information age. We're overwhelmed with information. So do you want to talk a little bit about that? And if there's anything else you want to hit on, you know, in terms of your mindset, but how have you been able to kind of stay in the game and stay focused?
Yeah, I think I just realized that if I tried to chase too many different things, I wouldn't really create results in any of them. Right. I mean, that's the thing with goal setting that we talk about too. Try to set 20 goals for this next year.
Yeah.
You might accomplish none of them because you're chasing all these different things at once, but you set a couple and you're focused. It's the focused energy and all of that. And like, you can't, if all these spaces are different or uncomfortable for you, you can't decide to run a marathon this year and launch a business and grow it into six figures of revenue and excel in your job and be a new parent. I mean, that's just too much. So I think I just had the realization that I could really focus on probably two things, maybe three, right? I'm a huge advocate of diversifying, Mason. I mean, you and I have had plenty of conversations around this, and we've since diversified more. But when I was really stepping into the entrepreneurial space, it was my job and it was my side hustles. And that was really it. I mean, throw entertainment, family, that type of stuff in there, right? You want to have a balanced life, but I wasn't trying to do so many things. And my mindset was, well, I'm going to grow this side hustle to equate to the income of my job, buy back that 40 hours or 50 hours of my life on a weekly basis. Then I can go and diversify.
Giving up I think you've said this before, giving up what you wanted right then for what you wanted most in your life. And this idea of delaying gratifying versus the YOLO. Yeah. But here's what I also observed. You like, I mean, we've had some amazing times together in that this last 12 years. So it's not like people will be like, well, you've made that incredible sacrifice. Do you feel that way?
No, not at all. I mean, I think the journey is just such a rewarding process. I mean, did I like everything I did? Did I enjoy everything I did to build what we built? No, not necessarily. I think that's kind of that's just an unrealistic expectation. I think that's one of the biggest problems these days. I'll go on a little tangent here, but one of the biggest problems these days is that people look at entrepreneurship with rose-colored glasses because of how social media portrays it and these things that they see, and they think, I'm going to start this business and it's going to be successful and I'm going to make all this money and it's going to make an impact and, you know, I'm going to feel fulfilled and all these different things. That's a lot of pressure to put on your first business. Give yourself some time. Understand your first business doesn't have to be your last business.
Wow.
And so for me, it was more about like what made sense and could I stay focused and scale it to a result, right? And then I could open up some of those doors, you know? And it was focused.
Yeah, that's really brilliant. So give us some context, like what have you done and kind of where are you guys at today? And maybe, you know, obviously I know how you've helped us over the years, but maybe give us some context how you're helping people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the last few years in particular really changed when, you know, I married my wife, Lauren. And as I mentioned before, I mean, she was my coach's younger sister, and her background's English. She didn't have a business background either, but stepping into, you know, the entrepreneurial space, similarly to what I did, like as that side hustle scaled that up, she ran a very successful side hustle as well as an individual. Right, separate from me, and we just realized, and I think these days there's kind of three buckets of people, right? When we're talking about the business, there's the individuals who want to run the next tech startup, right, and run and scale that, be creative, and this and that. I'm not against that. Hats off to you. That's super great. But frankly, like I was more attracted to creating a lifestyle that I wanted to live than have a certain amount of success in a business.
So you weren't so much attracted to like just entrepreneurship. You were more attracted to the outcome of entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Travel, family, owning my schedule, autonomy, all those different things. Right. So, that's a space some people really find themselves. Some people find themselves in the business world where it's like, hey, I need to make extra money because inflation's crazy right now and I can't pay my bills, or I'm struggling to pay my bills, or I don't have much money left over from my income from my job. So I'm just looking to make an extra $500 a month, $1,000 a month, whatever it is. And that's fine too. There's a lot of different options out there. That's a lot less stressful place to be too, because you don't have like this real idea to automate something long-term and really like be running a business, right? I was in this frame. And as we just talked about, like I wanted to scale something to create a lifestyle, enough automated passive income that I own my life, not from that, you know, tech startup space, right?
What you've done
for any, we've invested in that. Might have been one of the worst decisions I made, but you live and you learn, right?
Yeah.
Good thing we're investing money that like we don't necessarily need versus like I think sometimes people put it all in there. But yeah, so that was where I was. And I think that the biggest advantage that I had, Mason, when I think about like my journey of going that route then, is people.
What do you mean?
Is people in the sake of like having a tribe, having a support system, having individuals that you not necessarily can only lean on for advice, but like lean on for support. So, I mean, we talked about our relationship, right? I talk about my relationship with people like Craig, or, you know, some of the different entrepreneurs that I've really like built, not just like a coaching relationship with, but a life, like a real relationship and friendship that's deep rooted in where we want to go. That was the big thing for me. And I think that is a gap most people have when they try to step into the side hustle space or the entrepreneurial space. They try to do it on their own. So my wife and I, we formed Cornerstone, and it's really under the idea of there's a lot of people out there that feel that same way, that want to start something, that want to create those results down the road, and they just don't know what or how to do it. And that support system is really their gap. And I get it, because it was mine, right? So we looked to try to provide that coaching and mentorship and different areas of their lives, helping them figure out like improving their career, improving their decisions, their finances, all these different things. But then, hey, on top of that, let's help you scale side hustle. Let's help you create an additional passive income so you can really make more choices down the road. And that's where a lot of our time and our focus is going in now. And it's just been a huge blessing. And because it's about making an impact and turning it on other people.
Man, I mean, Cornerstone and Kyle Moran, I'm a walking, talking testament to what you guys have done and what you guys do there. You know, literally my wife and I, our life has been completely transformed from the guidance you guys have given us. And it started out, like you said, in the basics, just like managing our budget, managing our life, our energy, our careers. I mean, you've helped me change my job 3 or 4 times now. You helped me get into the entrepreneurial space. You've helped our marriage. You helped us now with raising kids. So like, we've been a testament to that. And what's been beautiful about our relationship is that we were fortunate to get a partnership with you guys. And so it's cool. We haven't paid for it, which I think is really rare. So I think it's just an interesting dynamic. I was a little bit nervous when I met you because I was like, man, like I kind of know this guy, but like, am I going to, you know, am I good enough for him, or am I like capable enough? Like, so you talk about that tribe and like finding people that can help you. Any last thoughts you would have in terms of like, if you're sitting here listening to that, because I can just hear our audience like hearing that and then being like, but I'm a little nervous, or I don't know, I'm not confident, or I'm like not sure if I want to go like ask for help.
Yeah, I think it's just realizing that's really natural. That I felt the same way. You felt the same way. I mean, it's not weird or odd to be nervous about that or be a little bit hesitant about that. But you know, the line that's kind of going through my head right now when you ask that question is, you don't change your life until you change your life. Right. And I think to answer your question about this specifically, you're really not going to change your life until you change who influences you.
Wow.
And I think, you know, take a look at that and take that really serious. Right. If you take that decision serious about who you're going to let influence your decisions that you make in your life, and whether it's about any of those main pillars that you have, I think we can all realize that, like, yeah, that is going to change the trajectory, right? And if you choose really wisely, you're going to change your life. And if you kind of keep doing what you're doing right now, there's not going to be a lot of changes. And I think, like, the last thing I'll say to that is, most people who have created results in some of those areas are actually more apt to helping others than what most people think.
Wow.
I think sometimes people feel like it's like this untouchable, like, oh, an untouchable, successful entrepreneur or whatever. Like, no, like a lot of people in that scenario want to give back and want to help other individuals. That's why we created Success Ourselves, is because we wanted to build a lifestyle that our family could make the choices we wanted to make. But and then it became about, how do we help others do that? I mean, I think that's most successful people's mindset.
Yeah, that's beautiful. There's so many good things here, Kyle. Thanks for coming on the podcast today. And I have no doubt that the audience is going to be impacted and take some things away. And so thanks for your time, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great time.
Our brand design and strategy is by Tessa at 5footstudios.com. You can also follow her on Instagram at 5footstudios. Our music is by Lakey Inspired. Go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss an episode, and click the 5 stars to give us a rating. And most importantly, keep playing injured.